Good morning and welcome to Newport on Tay Church of Scotland Sunday morning worship live on Zoom this All Saints Day. And a particular welcome to anyone attending the service for the first time, and especially to our children who are here to help me with the All Age talk. Now, let us join together and worship the Lord. Our call to worship is Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from my fears. Look to him and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed. This poor soul cried and was heard by the Lord and was saved from every trouble. So the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you, his holy ones, for those who fear him have no want. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Come, now is the time to worship. Let us sing.
Is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are.
let us pray. Creator God, it seems you have been our home forever, long before the mountains were born, long before you brought earth itself to birth. From once upon a time to kingdom come, you are God. Be with us now in the power of your Holy Spirit. Make us open to your leading, sensitive to your speaking, and alert to your calling. Father, we invite the same power that was at work when Jesus was raised from the grave to be present with us here now. Lord Jesus, we declare that you are welcome here amongst us. Father, forgive us for the ways we fail in our daily lives to treat you as you deserve, as our Creator and Lord. Forgive us our sins for the sake of Jesus, so that we may come before you now without the barrier caused by unrepented and unforgiven sin. Forgive us for the times we have failed in our duty of love to our neighbour, when we have been judgmental, gossipy, or turned our back on someone in need. Forgive us when we fail to care for this beautiful world, your wonderful creation, given to us in trust for future generations to flourish in and enjoy. Help us to worship in spirit and in truth. Attend to your word with understanding and respond to you how wholeheartedly in our thoughts and actions this morning and throughout the week to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now the children, if they can kindly be unmuted, then we'll be able to start the All Age Address. We're going to turn the recording off now. So this is a special segment for everyone who's here live. And we'll pray together. Almighty God, you have made us into one family, the church, the mysterious body of your Son, Jesus. Help us to follow his example and the example of all Christians whose lives have made real the Spirit of Jesus within them, so that we too may find the great joy and happiness that you want to give to everyone who loves you. Lord of all, for everyone who has gone before us and for calling us to you in turn to be part of this great company of saints, we thank you and praise you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and rules with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Right, now, I hope everyone has their marching boots on for the next song, which is, Oh, When the Saints Go Marching In.
Oh, And to bring us back down to earth, we shall now listen for the word of God. Our Old Testament reading this morning from one of the lesser prophets, the prophet Zephaniah, reading chapter 1, verses 7 and 12 to 18. Zephaniah, chapter 1, verse 7. Be silent before the sovereign Lord, for the day of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated those he has invited. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish those who are complacent, who are like wine left on its dregs, who think the Lord will do nothing, either bad or good. Their wealth will be plundered, their houses demolished. They will build houses but not live in them. They will plant vineyards but not drink the wine. The great day of the Lord is near, near and coming quickly. Listen, the cry on the day of the Lord will be bitter, the shouting of the warrior there. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of trouble and ruin, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, a day of trumpet and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the corner towers. I will bring distress on the people, and they will walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood will be poured out like dust and their entrails like filth. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath. In the fire of his jealousy, the whole world will be consumed, for he will make a sudden end of all who live in the earth. And a New Testament reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, reading verses 14 to 30. A familiar parable, the parable of the talents. It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money, to another, 2 talents, and to another, 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of these servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master again replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have abundance. Whoever does not have, even that he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. May our God add his blessings to these readings from his holy word. Our next hymn, Lord of Creation, to you be all praise.
Grant, O God, that in the spoken word, as in the written word, we may behold the living word, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The parable of the talents in this morning's text from the Gospel according to St. Matthew is very well known. It is also very well misunderstood. We know Jesus often told a parable in answer to a tricky or problematic question. For example, the parable of the Good Samaritan was the answer he gave to the question, "Who is my neighbour?" Also, Jesus often answered in parables when he had something profound and difficult to say about the people of Israel, their relationship with God, and Jesus' own role in God's overarching eternal plan of salvation. Things that the authorities would find radical and subversive, and so couldn't be stated openly for fear of arrest and worse. Bearing these things in mind, what can we make of Jesus telling this parable about a man going on a journey and leaving his servants in charge of his great wealth? Well, to start with, it's highly unlikely that Jesus was telling us that we should make the most of our gifts, skills, and talents. After all, while this might be good advice, it is hardly profound or difficult or problematic, let alone radical or subversive. Jesus would have no reason to say this is a parable, because telling people to do their best with what they're given is not the sort of thing that gets you crucified, not even in ancient Rome. The problem here is the word talent, which originally came from a Greek word that referred to a weight or measure. But over time, the word talent changed in its meaning to refer to a personal attribute. And with the change of meaning of the word talent came the changed interpretation of this parable. So let us put aside what we think the parable means and take a fresh and closer look at what the text actually says. The parable begins, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them." It will be like a man going on a journey. Pardon me, but does anyone know what it refers to? What will be like a man going on a journey? Even before we begin, we seem to be missing something important. The clue to the little word "it" is actually at the beginning of the previous chapter. Jesus and his disciples are in Jerusalem, and Jesus has just made a scathing attack on the religious authorities based at the temple. You should read it. It's really worth it. As they leave the temple precinct, the disciples are overwhelmed by the grandeur of the building. But Jesus makes a passing comment that this grand building won't be around for much longer. Now, the disciples would have known passages of scripture like the one we heard earlier from Philip from the prophet Zephaniah. These scriptures predicted destruction if the people of Israel did not turn back to God. Jesus' comment startles the disciples, and when they get him alone, they ask him when this destruction will take place. Jesus warns them, "Keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come." And he explains that only God the Father knows these things and the timing of them. But it is up to the disciples and everyone else to be ready, to get prepared for it. Then Jesus starts talking about something new, about the kingdom of heaven at this time of destruction. Now, Jesus and his disciples were Jewish. They belonged to the people of Israel, who felt themselves to be central to God's story and purposes. The disciples well knew the story. Every Jew knows it, and every Jew still knows it. It is the foundational story of the people of Israel. God had turned a ragtag bunch of runaway slaves into a people, into his people, a people whose sole purpose was to demonstrate the depth and breadth of what a relationship with God could be like. But as the long line of prophets like Zephaniah lamented, the people of Israel repeatedly failed to keep their side of the arrangement. Failing to love the Lord God with all their hearts and to love their neighbors as themselves, they committed idolatry and injustice. In Jesus' eyes, the temple practices were corrupt and even encouraged injustice. So Jesus, last in this long line of prophets, announces that God will bring about something new, a kingdom of heaven, and that Jesus himself would play a critical role. So, at least now we know what the "it" is. It is the kingdom of God at the time the Lord comes. And it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. And this man had great wealth. Each talent, or as translated in the newer version of the NIV, each bag of gold, contained more than a lifetime's wages for the average man, a huge sum and a huge responsibility, which the first two servants take very seriously and immediately begin investing in their communities so as to double their master's money. The third servant also takes things seriously, but he is paralyzed by fear and buries his master's treasure in a hole he has dug in the ground. And it is only when his master returns that we see that the servant's behavior depended on their understanding of their master's character. Because we see that their master is kind and generous in both his praise and his money. He sounds joyously sincere when he exclaims to the first two servants, "Come and share your master's happiness." But the third servant has a different view of the master, who is also a hard-headed and hard-hearted businessman. His relationship with his master was one of fear, fear that he would lose what had been entrusted to him. And of course, that is exactly what happens in the end when all that he has is given to the other servant. So, what does Jesus mean in saying the kingdom of God at the time the Lord comes will be like this situation? And what relevance does it have for us today? Remember earlier, we noted that Jesus often used parables when he had something profound and potentially subversive to say about the people of Israel, about their relationship with God and his own role in God's plan of salvation. Could this be the case here? Could the unworthy servant represent the people of Israel, or at least the Jewish authorities, whom Jesus had scorned and derided earlier in the day? Just as the unworthy servant buried his master's treasure in the ground, the Pharisees and teachers of the law buried the law of God in laws of their own making. So the law given through Moses, which was meant by God to be a blessing on the people, became an unbearable burden. Just as the unworthy servant failed to give over to the banker the gold, which could have at least returned interest, so those in power failed to hand over the power, though they were incompetent to use it as God intended. Just as the unworthy servant focused on the master's hardness, ignoring his grace, good humor, and generosity, so the religious authorities misjudged the very character of God. And there's more. The gold was taken from the unworthy servant and given to the more prosperous, and the unworthy servant was expelled from his master's presence. Would God really take the law of Moses from the people of Israel? Would God really cast them from his presence? Would he really give their inheritance to someone else? To whom? To the Gentiles? To the Romans? This was unthinkable, unspeakable. Saying it outright would be enough to get you crucified. And yet, perhaps the treasure entrusted to the unworthy servant is not the law of Moses. Perhaps the treasure is Jesus himself. Jesus, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, who was betrayed by his friends. Jesus, who was crucified, died, and was buried. But again, just as in the parable, that's not the end of that story. So, what relevance does this parable have for us today? If indeed the underlying themes are breach of trust and betrayal, judgment and reckoning, we can be sure that the message for us is not going to be particularly comfortable. But read and received through the power of the Holy Spirit, this message can be guaranteed to be transforming. What if we see the unworthy servant not as representing individuals, but again as representing a group? What is the great treasure with which we have been entrusted and with which we have failed to care for adequately? We don't have to look far. It's all around us. The precious jewel that is the earth. And we don't have to look far to see the environmental problems of our world, which are also all around us. Problems like global warming, ice melts in the polar regions and the Great Lakes of Canada, rising seas and flooding in low-lying areas, air pollution, plastic in the oceans, poisoning animals and fish and other creatures, chemical and heavy metal pollution, mountains of waste with no means of safe disposal, deforestation, habitat loss, endangered species, food insecurity, salinization, rising water tables, and the list goes on and on. What will we say when the Master returns and asks what we have done with his world? I'm sure many of us are trying to do our bit as individuals, and we must continue to do so. But how often do you feel that the problem is just too big? These problems require the entire community of faith, the entire community of citizens, the entire community of humanity. And working together requires conversations, conversations that lead to cooperative actions, while there might still be time to prevent global catastrophe. So let us join the conversation. Conversations in the streets with local people, conversations with our local members, conversations with farmers and food producers, factories and laboratories, shops and supermarket chains, packagers and distributors, schools and healthcare facilities. Conversations that aren't just all talk, but lead to action. And of course, conversation with God, which we call prayer. The earth is truly magnificent, and we frequently point to nature to help us understand God's glory and power. And yet, is there perhaps another even greater treasure which instead of putting to work, we have buried? But what could be greater than the earth and the wonders of creation? Earlier, we wondered if the treasure buried by the unworthy servant represented Jesus himself. And now we need to ask ourselves, do we ever bury Jesus? Do we keep the good news of Jesus Christ buried in our hearts or hidden away in church buildings, justifying this by claiming that religion and matters of faith are private matters? But this privacy argument is refuted by the lives of the saints of whom we gave thanks earlier. We remember them because the life and spirit of Jesus was not buried in their hearts, but rather shone through them into their communities. Jesus was buried in a tomb, but death could not hold him, and nor can our hearts contain the spirit of the living God. So we are invited to join in another conversation, a conversation that started in the beginning with the Word and continued through Moses and Zephaniah and Matthew and all the saints. What would happen if we each joined in this conversation? Let us pray. Creator God, you have entrusted to us every good gift you have made, to help us care for this beautiful earth, its living creatures, its glorious landscapes, its vast oceans, so that all humanity and all your creatures may share in your bountiful generosity, both now and for all generations to come. Loving God, you love us all so much that you gave your one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Send your Holy Spirit to give us courage, to give us discernment, to give us words and actions to tell about you, so that our friends and families and communities can join with us and all the saints and share in this eternal conversation about your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I now invite us all to share a moment of reflection when we can listen to God's word in our heart. Let us pray that God will speak, for his servants are listening. Join together and respond to our God, singing the hymn, Touch the Earth Lightly.
Touch the earth lightly, use the earth gently, nourish the life of the world in our care. Eat of great wonder, to surrender, trust for the children tomorrow will bear. We who endanger, who create hunger, agents of hate are all creatures that live. We who
let us continue in our response to God with a prayer of thanksgiving and dedication of the offering. Let us pray. Living God, we thank you for those who have gone before us into your eternal presence. We thank you for those who kept the faith before us, whose example has given us encouragement and inspiration to your people in their very personal journey of faith, whose life and faith have spoken to us, uplifting, instructing, challenging, and guiding, leading us forward into new experiences of your love. Creator God, we give you thanks and praise for all your blessings. Teach us to celebrate all we have received, but to set our heart first on your kingdom, and to show our gratitude for all your gifts by offering back our lives in your service to the glory of your name. Generous God, in glad thanksgiving for all your goodness, we offer back to you our gifts of service, of money, and of devotion, and pray they be used to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let us offer up our prayers of intercession. And you'll have noticed that we didn't say the Lord's Prayer earlier. We've saved that to the end of the intercessory prayers. There is a response to the intercessory prayer for anyone that wishes. When I say God of tenderness, the response is, draw near to them, we pray. So God of tenderness, draw near to them, we pray. Let us pray. God of healing, we pray for all those in need, in mind, body, or spirit, that you draw near to them, comfort and heal them, and bring to them people who can offer hope and compassion, together with practical support. We pray for the family and friends of the children and the adults drowned this week in the English Channel. We pray for the families and friends of those who have died of COVID-19 and other illness or injury. We pray for the sick at home, in care homes, or in hospitals. We pray for our leaders in government, science, and healthcare, who are charged with the responsibility for taking difficult decisions in this time of national crisis. And we pray for all who will be facing increasing difficulties due to the increasing restrictions due to COVID across our country and across Europe. God of tenderness, draw near to them, we pray. Sovereign God, we pray for those for whom Christian commitment is costly, those who face hostility, discrimination, repression, and persecution. For the cause of the gospel, we pray for healing for Father Nicholas Kakavaleskis, who was shot yesterday in Lyon. And we pray for the families and friends of the three people stabbed to death in their church earlier in the week in Nice. Give them strength and courage so they may keep the faith. God of tenderness, draw near to them, we pray. We pray for those who are finding the journey of discipleship difficult, troubled by doubts, plagued by temptation, or simply slipping back into old ways. Give them support and reassurance so that they may walk with a new confidence. God of tenderness, draw near to them, we pray. We pray for all those expressing their faith in action, individuals through personal acts of kindness, and agencies like Christian Aid, Tear Fund, and Shelter, together with so many others, working often against the odds to give expression to the love of Christ. Give them love and compassion so they may make Christ real for others. God of tenderness, draw near to them, we pray. We pray for all seeking to communicate their faith, ministers, evangelists, missionaries, chaplains. We pray for our own minister, Amos, who is preaching in Tayport today, and also for his family, wife Florence, and children, Larry, Zara, Gilead, and Ariel. We pray for our youth worker, Chris, and his wife, Katie, that they may soon be back to full strength and health. We pray for Father Martin of St. Fillan's, who celebrates his final Sunday Mass today before his retirement later this week. We pray for Kathy Barrable, Rector of St. Mary's, as she seeks to minister in our community. And we pray for ordinary, everyday believers like us, each telling in their own way what Jesus means to them. Give them wisdom and inspiration so that they may speak your word with power. God of tenderness, draw near to them, we pray. Sovereign God, we pray for Christians everywhere, striving to live out their faith in the world of today, with all the pressures, challenges, and demands that confront them. Give them guidance and encouragement so they may grow in grace. Give them humility to learn more of you each day and the ability to share their experience simply and effectively with others, making Christ known through word and deed. All this we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And now I'll hand over to Claire for our news and notices.
Thank you, Catherine. So rather than have the intimations at the beginning of the service, we have kept them to this point, and I will briefly outline our news and notices. This week, our minister Amos is at Tayport Church conducting a service of communion, and we are thankful to Catherine for taking our service here this morning. Next week is our service of remembrance, which will be in the church building, starting at the slightly earlier time of 10:50 a.m. to allow us to observe a 2-minute silence at 11 o'clock. The Scottish Government have announced that organised outdoor remembrance events are not permitted this year. Consequently, there will be no formal service at either Newport or Wormit War Memorials next Sunday. The November Journal is now available to view online, and hard copies are being distributed by elders. The next meeting of the Kirk session will be held on Wednesday, the 11th of November at 7:30 p.m. And following our service this morning, please do stay online and join us for a chat over a cup of tea or coffee. But now let's join together for our final hymn, Rejoice in God's Saints, Today and All Days.
Some need to withdraw, no better to pray. Some
So, as we prepare to end our worship and go out into the world, let us join in saying the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever.